Welcome to the Ridge Community Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button and find us online at theridgecc.com. At our website, you can catch up with everything that's happening at The Ridge, watch previous messages, and learn more about who we are. If you want to watch services live, you can catch them every Sunday via our online community at live.theridgecc.com. We hope this message inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, welcome everyone who's joining us online in Oak Creek, Franklin, and to everyone in Greenfield. It is so great to spend some time with you today. If we haven't met, my name is Tyler, and I serve as one of the teaching pastors here at The Ridge. And we are right in the middle. I mean, it is full Christmas season for us right now. So let's just see how in the Christmas mood we are at all of our locations. Give me a round of applause wherever you're joining at. If this is you, if you got all of your Christmas decorations out right now, both inside and out, round of applause. Yeah, you guys are definitely the ones in the spirit. You're leading the way. Same thing. How many of you have all of your Christmas gift shopping done? Round of applause. The procrastinators are in the back, but of course the ones up front, they already got it done. You know, but we'll do one more. Give me a round of applause, all locations at this. You've already watched one of the classic Christmas movies this year. Things like Home Alone, Elf, Christmas Vacation. Yeah, you guys are definitely getting into the spirit. And you know, this really is one of the most wonderful times of year. There is so much to love about Christmas time. You got the Christmas movies, you got the Christmas music, you got all the gifts, all the gatherings, the lights, the decorations. So much to love about the Christmas season. And there's one other interesting fact about the Christmas season, and that is that this is one of those rare times of year that faith and culture, they just sort of intersect all together. Like, this is the time we all come together, and those of us who don't yet follow Jesus, and even those who do follow Jesus, and those who don't yet go to church or go to church, you become a little bit more curious about Jesus or the story of Jesus actually being born. And what's true is that we have different pictures or views or thoughts that come to mind when we hear the word Jesus. For some of us, it is actually a picture of Jesus that comes to mind. Maybe it's this picture that's hung up at your grandparents' house, and you got that brown wavy hair, and you're like, oh, I don't know if Jesus really looked like that. But you know, like, you know, we have that picture there. Others of us, we hear Jesus, and that for us is a word that we say when we stub our toe or we hit another red light when we're late on our way over to work. Others of us, we hear Jesus, and we might think of an image of Jesus that we saw maybe in a TV show like The Chosen, or maybe a movie that we watched, or maybe it was a painting like The Last Supper, or maybe it was someone's tattoo that you saw, or maybe it was just a tattoo of The Last Supper, like my friend Tony, who just got this done, and I saw that, and I was like, wow, that was a lot of work. That's well done, very cool to see a tattoo just like that. And so we all have different pictures of who Jesus is, and some of these pictures, they might be more helpful or not than others, but naturally, it's normal to ask this question, well, who is Jesus? In fact, our culture will often ask this question around this time of year. And over the last several years, we've seen even Discovery Channel, and we've even seen CNN run specials about, well, who is Jesus? And they're trying to answer the question of who is Jesus. And their short, quick answer was, he's this guy that came out of this place called Nazareth, and he was born to this young woman named Mary, and she was poor, and she was engaged and then married to this man named Joseph, who was this carpenter. And he ends up becoming this religious leader who ends up influencing millions and millions of people throughout the course of history. And they would say, well, that's about it. And maybe that seems like that's about it, except there's also many of us that believe that Jesus is God. And there's a number of reasons why we would believe and say that Jesus is God. And we, you know, we look at these recorded books that we have about him, and we'd say there's reason to believe that these are true. And we read about these signs and these wonders that Jesus performed to show that he was God. And Jesus even himself predicted his death and resurrection and then pulled it off. And we have reason to believe that, where we say, okay, yeah, that's God for me. And we have reason to believe that Jesus is God. And that's one thing that Jesus did to just totally separate himself from the rest of the world. But it wasn't the only thing that Jesus did. Jesus actually did something else that very, very distinctly set him apart from the rest of the world. And it wasn't just by actually feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish, or turning water into wine. But really, what distinguished Jesus throughout this world was how he actually loved people. And when I say love, I'm not talking about this sappy type of love that maybe we think about when it comes to this romantic love or the Hallmark Christmas movies. But when we look at this love of Jesus, it is something that has just changed the world. And it was something so brand new that he introduced into this world. This type of love that Jesus introduced is better known as the self-sacrificial, unconditional love. It's a love that costs you something. It's a love that says, I can't stop and I won't stop loving you no matter what, where I give myself up for you, even though there is no way that you could pay me back. And even if you could, you probably wouldn't if given the chance. It's this love that says, I'm going to love you no matter what all the time. And Jesus introduced this type of love into this world. It was never heard of before Jesus. And it wasn't just something that Jesus introduced in this world. This was something that he was all about. In fact, there was this religious leader that approached Jesus when Jesus was on earth. And he asked Jesus, hey, what's the most important thing when it comes to the things of God? And Jesus said, great question. I'm glad you asked. And he said, here's what it is. I want you to love the Lord your God. Love God in the same way that it would cost you something. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind, with everything you have. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And he's going to say another thing, but this isn't second place. This is as equal as the first. He says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor, or in other words, love other people as yourself. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And what that means is that he knows he's speaking to a group of Jewish leaders. They have these 600 plus rules that would say, if we follow all these rules, we're going to be good with God. And so these are rules like, hey, if I eat a certain thing or drink a certain thing, or if I follow these particular rules on these particular days, I'm going to be really good with God. And Jesus is like, hold on, guys, you're overcomplicating things. You know, you're making it far too complicated. The only thing that matters the most to God is how you love. It's how you love God and love other people. That's it. Simple, right? Sounds simple at first until you start putting it into practice. Because the loving people part gets difficult when it comes to actually loving people. And Jesus, he didn't just talk about loving people in some general concept. When we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus actually loved people very personally, where he would spend time with people. He'd eat with people. He would touch people. He would embrace people. He'd meet them right where they were, and he would love them and give himself up for them. And Jesus didn't just talk about loving people generally, like, hey, just go ahead and love people. He talked about loving people specifically. And so he would love specific people, hurt people, broken people, sick people, people who were condemned by others, people like you and like me. And he would take this self-sacrificial love and he would show this love to so many people that it would change people one person at a time. And it led to this movement that ultimately changed the world. And Jesus gave of himself because of his love for all people. And then he told his followers, this is the love that I want you to demonstrate to others. This is what matters most to me. And that's what we're gonna learn from Jesus to do as we are heading into this Christmas season, as we kick off this brand new series today called Love Has a Name. And I'm gonna give credit where credit is due. We got a lot of this teaching ideas and content for this series from this book called Love Has a Name from a pastor named Adam Weber. It's a great short read, and the link to it is actually gonna be on our resource page if you wanna check that out and read that on your own on your way into the Christmas season. But our hope as we go throughout this series series is that we would learn from Jesus how Jesus loved people personally so that we could take that same love and demonstrate that to others throughout this Christmas season. In fact, my hope and prayer for all of us as we go throughout this series is that we would actually be known for how much we love people just like Jesus. Because Jesus is that reference point. Since he introduced this type of love into the world, we want to follow his lead and love people the same way that he would do it. And by being known, this is our reputation. And what this means is that as a church, we would be known for this, especially in a time where the church's reputation is not so positive. The church's reputation at large is known as a place of being judgmental or hypocritical, or maybe even condemning or guilting others. And we can change that reputation just by loving people the way that Jesus loves people. And that's the specific people part, where we would take this love and we would demonstrate this love to people that we work with, that we live in the same neighborhoods with, the people that we bump into the gym with, or wherever we go, we would love people as Jesus loves people. Now, if you're joining us today or watching online today, and if you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, you're just kind of checking this whole thing out, my hope for you is that you would go through this series and you would see how much Jesus actually loves you. And as you see that, you would start to realize, hey, you know, Jesus is actually for me. It would be enough of a compelling reason for you to consider to want to follow him because of how much he loves you. But for those of us who follow Jesus, our hope and our prayer is that we would learn from Jesus throughout the series how we can love people like him, especially throughout this Christmas season. Because this time of year is one of the times of year that people that we know, they need this love the most. We know our culture, they say, yeah, this is the most wonderful time of year. And for a lot of us, it really is. But we also know for so many people we know, this time of year, it feels anything but wonderful. And the reason for that is the Christmas season just has this ability to magnify and multiply whatever it is that we experience throughout the year, that we just experience it more throughout the season. So for example, we know someone who's probably feeling very lonely right now. And it's this time of year that it just magnifies the loneliness and the hurt of the loss of that loved one. We also know that we probably know someone who is dealing with some financial challenges right now. And this time of year just magnifies that because the pressure to provide gifts for loved ones is very, very real. Or you know someone that there is just they're dealing with some relational dysfunction right now. Like there's that family issues that are going on and they just got out of that Thanksgiving week and there was that argument already there and they're like, oh, that was already tough. But we know that was like round one. You know, that's the preview going into the holiday season. I don't know how I'm going to get through the holiday season with that type of relationship. And they're feeling the stress and the chaos and the busyness of the year because Christmas is just magnifying all of it. And what that individual needs is they need someone to come alongside them and love them like Jesus did. And just by that, that could change their life this Christmas season. And it could really be the most wonderful time of year. And that person could be you. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to set the table for how Jesus actually began this and how he began to connect with people and start loving them like how he loved them with the self-sacrificial love. And there's three things that he would do right out of the gate as he would spend time with them that we can follow right away to help someone understand how much they matter to us and how much they matter to God. And so three things. The first thing that he did right away is he would actually know each person by name. And he would love them by name just by getting to know what their name is and who they're called. And there's just something so special about a name that when someone calls you by name or you know someone by name, you actually know them as a person. And as a person, they have value. They matter to you. And Jesus, he knows all people by name, not just the celebrities, not just the Travis and the Taylors of the world. He knows all people by names, even the people that the community doesn't like. A great example of this is a guy named Zacchaeus, who actually was this individual who's known as this chief tax collector in this town called Jericho. And tax collectors back then are just the most hated people in their community. I mean, it was just well known that they were traitors because they would turn on their own people, they'd collect taxes from their people, and they would give them back to the Roman Empire that was oppressing them. But it was also well known that they would actually overcharge the individuals, and they would pocket the difference and get rich off of stealing from their people. And so Zacchaeus is actually the chief tax collector in Jericho. So he's the chief thief. And Jesus is coming through Jericho, and this crowd is gathering around. They want to see who Jesus is. And Zacchaeus is even one of those. He wants to know, but the crowd is keeping Zacchaeus away from him. And so what Zacchaeus does is he climbs this tree to come up to actually see Jesus and to interact with him, because he just doesn't know what Jesus is like. And Jesus is coming into this town, and here's what Jesus does. This is so amazing. He calls out to Zacchaeus, and he says to him, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down from there immediately. I must stay at your house today." Jesus immediately calls him out by name, and there may have been some interactions that Zacchaeus didn't want his name called out, but Jesus is calling out to him right by his name, and Jesus is saying, "I want to hang out with you." And this like draws Zacchaeus over to Jesus, so much so that Zacchaeus comes down at once and he welcomed Jesus gladly. He said, "Wow, Jesus actually went out of his way to know who I am, me, this tax collector, and he wants to hang out with me." Zacchaeus is just drawn to him, and the crowd is just outraged that Jesus would even want to hang out with this tax collector, but Jesus loves Zacchaeus enough by name to spend this time with him. And what this means is if Jesus would go out of his way to know Zacchaeus' name, he's going to go out of his way to know all of our names, including your ex, including that coworker that you have a hard time working with, including the neighbor down the street that you haven't taken the chance to get to know them yet, including the vulnerable in our city. Jesus would know them and love them by name, because when he knows their names, it gives them value. And it's the same value all of us have. Someone who matters to Jesus to say, "I love them this much." And so what this means for us is we start just by getting to know someone's name. And for me, I'm actually really convicted by that, because I'm one of those that would say, I have a hard time with names. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the gym and I was reminded of this. I was checking out of the gym and I was getting my card back. I had my coat on, my hood up. It was a very cold day. And this other lady who had her hood up, she saw me and she was like, "Hey, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that like we work out at the same gym." And it just really took me by surprise. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. I'm like, "Hey, yeah, you know, great, great too." And then like, and then she ran away. I mean, that may be you. You may be watching this right now, and I was like, what happened to the interaction? I froze. That was what happened. And I just felt bad, because I'm like, clearly this person knew me. I did not know their name or knew what was happening, and I didn't take the time to ask, "What is your name?" And I realized, I've forgotten the value of knowing others' names. In fact, that's one of my prayers now when I'm out in the lobbies meeting people. It's just, "God, help me remember names so I don't default to that, hey, man, you know, hey, dude, hey, bud, you know, if I'm talking to a kid." But just starting to ask God, "Hey, God, help me remember names and ask names and use names in conversations just to start to learn names so that we know that we can love someone just by name, because knowing a name adds value to the person that we want to care about." But Jesus didn't just start with learning a name. Jesus then moved on to the next step, where he knows and he loves each of us by knowing each person's story. And there's just something powerful that happens when we get to know someone's story and they know that we know their story. I mean, it just helps that relationship just develop just a little bit quicker. In fact, Jesus had this great interaction with this man named Nathanael. And Nathanael was actually introduced to Jesus by a friend. And Nathanael was skeptical about Jesus. He's like, I don't know if he is who who you say he is. And so Jesus, he actually meets Nathanael. And what he says is just really interesting. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said, "Hey, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He has complete integrity." And Jesus isn't saying this as a compliment or to butter him up. This is just what's true of Nathanael. In fact, Nathanael even says that. He's like, "Hey, Jesus, how do you know me? How do you know my story? And Jesus answered, well, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip, your friend, called out to you. In other words, Jesus didn't do his homework beforehand just to try to impress Nathanael and convince him. Jesus actually knows who he is. And this moved Nathanael so much that Nathanael actually said, yeah, I can see you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And he started to trust, and he ended up following Jesus. He was drawn to Jesus because Jesus cared about him enough and loved him enough to know his story. And we see Jesus do this over and over again with so many different individuals. He wouldn't condemn or just label people by other communities' labels. He wouldn't just call them the tax collectors or the sinners, but he would sit down with them and he would get to know their story. And as he got to know their story, they were drawn to him, which means one of the most loving things that we can do with individuals that we work with or live in our neighborhood is just to get to know their story. And when we get to know their story, it personalizes them for us so much more. In fact, we started seeing this play out in our house over the last several months, where a few months ago, our daughter was coming home from school and describing this friendship. And this friendship was just kind of one of those rocky friendships. It was had a lot of ups and downs, and some things were being said that weren't really honoring of her daughter. And it was just kind of one of those hard friendships that she was just kind of getting upset with at home. And my wife and I were kind of like, well, maybe this friendship will kind of fizzle out and she'll kind of move on to the next one. And that was kind of what we were kind of wondering or hoping could happen behind the scenes. But then one day our daughter came home and she said, hey, I figured something out. And she described this friend and she said, hey, my friend's struggling because her mom's dealing with cancer right now. And all of her time is going to trying to fight and battle this cancer that's going on. And we heard this and it was like this perspective shift right away, where it wasn't like, oh, you know, this is a troubled friendship. It's the, hey, how can we get to know the mom and help them? Or how can we help this child and this friend and take care of them and help them? And what this began to do was it didn't excuse some of the things that had been said, but it personalized and it helped us understand what was going on because of the hurt and the pain that's going on. And what that means is as we get to know the stories of those that we're interacting with, we begin to understand how we can really love individuals just like Jesus loved them. And Jesus didn't stop at just getting to know names and getting to know stories, but it was how Jesus responded that began to really just pave the way for him to love people and how we can love people. And what Jesus did was he would respond to those stories with both grace and truth. See, it's often when we think about love, we might think of love just kind of being this easy, soft thing that would say, okay, you know, we can just, you know, kind of let you just do whatever it is that you want to do and it's okay. But real true love doesn't work like that. True love can be hard and it can be really, really tough. That's gonna require us to do some hard things like forgiving someone or even telling them the truth and saying, hey, here are the consequences and here are some boundaries that we need to put in place. And we follow Jesus's lead to respond with loving grace and loving truth. I've heard of it described like this, is that love is like a coin. You need to have both sides to a coin. You need to have truth and grace. The challenge for all of us, though, is we tend to have a weighted coin. We lean towards one or the other. And if we lean towards grace, what happens is that we become this pushover and we just let people just kind of walk all over us. But if we lean towards truth, we walk all over people because we just tell it like it is and we don't care about feelings. We're just telling them about the truth. But when we lean only one way, it's not that complete picture of love. And Jesus actually responds with both. He isn't the right balance in between. He actually is fully both. And this is what John said about Jesus when describing him. He said, yeah, I've seen Jesus. He came from the Father. He was full of both grace and truth. He was the embodiment of both of them. He wasn't this drill sergeant, but he also wasn't this pushover. As he would meet people and get to know their stories and their names, he would respond to them with grace and truth. And this is just what drew people to Jesus, because he would extend this grace to them. He'd have this relationship with them and they would see how their lives aren't in line with his life. And they would just be so intrigued by it. And he'd tell them the truth. He'd say, hey, go and sin no more. And he said, the truth was that your sin has separated you from God, but then he gave them grace and he gave us grace. He said, but I'm going to take on the weight of your sin. I'm going to pay for it so that you can receive this ongoing relationship with me. He would respond with this grace and truth that would cost him something. And so we follow Jesus' lead. We respond in grace and truth. When it comes back to my daughter, I'd say this is what grace and truth looks like. Be the friend. Continue to care. You know, serve and love this other child. But also, you know, there's times you're going to have to say truth and set some boundaries. You can't talk to me this way. We respond in grace and truth. And when we do this, we are showing love just like Jesus showed love to those that he interacted with. And so Jesus starts off this way, every interaction. He says, here's how we start. We start by knowing a name, knowing their story, respond in grace and truth. But that isn't just what Jesus did. In fact, one final thing we want to keep in mind is that just demonstrating love as an action wasn't a complete picture of who Jesus is. Because John actually began to describe Jesus in a very simple term. And when he was actually writing to other followers of Jesus, John was describing about his interactions with Jesus and how he talked with him and spent time with him. And he said, if I'm going to describe Jesus and God in one word, here's the word that I'm going to use. God is love. That's it. That love isn't something that Jesus did. Love is something that Jesus is. He embodies this love. He's love personified. And then John continued to describe what that love looks like. He says, well, that is this love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the sacrifice for our sins. He loved us so much that it cost him something. That even though we didn't deserve it, he gave himself up for us so that he could pay for our sins, so that we could be in a relationship with him. And what John is telling us is this is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Because God gave us this love. That love has a name, and his name is Jesus. And if we ever wonder, what does love look like? There's one person that we can look at, and that is Jesus. And we can learn how to love from him because Jesus is love. Love has a name, and his name is Jesus. And this is why we celebrate Christmas, because God gave us his son so that we could follow him, which means as his followers, we are called to do the exact same thing, to represent love. In fact, John went on to say, he said, as his followers, there is one clear way for us to know how we are doing when it comes to our love for God. And he tells us what that is. He says, if you want to know that you're loving God, here's what you need to know. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Strong words. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they've seen, they can't love God who they've not seen. And he, this is Jesus, gave us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. Or we're wondering, hey, John, how do we know we are loving God? And he says, here's how you know. It's not by how much you read your Bible. It's not by how often you go to church or how loud you sing the songs, although all of that's important, all of that matters. He says, if you want to know how you're doing in your love for God, there's one measuring stick, and that is how we love other people. And that's how people will know that we love God. People will know our love for God by the way that we love other people. That's it. It's that clear, but it's also that challenging. Because I hear this and I look at the life of Jesus and I realize there's so much gap between us. There's so many times I've failed. But then the good news for us is how Jesus responds to us with grace. He says, hey, hold on. Just continue to follow me. Just continue to walk with me and I will develop you into someone who will love like me and you'll love others the way that I have loved you. And this is the opportunity that we get heading in to this Christmas season to just simply extend love to people like Jesus has loved us. I think a great example of this actually happened a few weeks ago in my Ridge group when Erica, who's a part of our group, and she said I could share this story. She told us about this person that she interacted with in a parking lot at the school. that her kids go to. And she pulled in this parking lot, and this other lady was parked right next to her, and they were getting out of their cars at the same time, and the wind caught hold of this other lady's door, and it just like blew her door open. It just slammed into Erica's car, and it just left this nasty scratch and dent like in her side of the door. And this woman in that car just started like just looking overwhelmed all at one point. And Erica got out to talk and thought they were going to start exchanging insurance information to figure this out. And this woman just seeming overwhelmed at the time, just mentioned to Erica just kind of casually. She's like, yeah, you know, I'm here because I got called that my kid is sick and I need to get him out of school, but I also have to go get my cancer treatment right now, and I'll figure this out. We'll deal with it. And as Erica got to know her story, she just said, hey, you know what? Don't worry about the car dent. Don't worry about the scratch. I'll take care of it. But I got your number. Hey, are you okay if I just text you and check in on how you're doing every now and then? And are you okay? Are you okay if that I pray for you? And we don't know if this lady's a follower of Jesus or not, but she said, yeah, you can pray for me. And then she texted her later. She's like, hey, I'm going to my Ridge group right now, which is just some people who are trying to follow Jesus together. Are you okay if I bring this up and we pray for you together here at our Ridge group? And she said, yeah, absolutely. And I don't know how this lady's story is going to turn out, but I love how Erica just responded and saying, hey, you know, here's the truth. She could have filed an insurance claim and could have gotten that dent paid for, but she said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to extend grace right now. It's going to cost me that, but I'm going to just go out of the way to just love this person. I don't know, get to know her name and love her and serve her just like how Jesus has done for us. And I thought that's just a great example for us just to start and see as we head into this Christmas season. We have this opportunity to go out of our way to love others who are hurting and to demonstrate this love of Jesus for them, and that we would be known how we love others like Jesus has loved us. And so we're going to go on this journey together heading into Christmas to learn how to do exactly that. But as we begin to wrap up our time together today, here's how I want you to begin to go on this journey. I want you to ask God, hey, God, who is someone you're asking me to love like Jesus? And ask God to bring a name to your mind, because this isn't the general answer like, oh, everybody, you know. No, who specifically is God asking you to love like Jesus this Christmas season? Is it that coworker that you're having a hard time with? Is it that last person you got in that argument with? That person that you're just refusing to forgive right now? Is it that person that you've been investing in over the year that you've been hoping that maybe they'd make the decision to follow Jesus? Just ask God, who is someone that you're asking me to love like Jesus? And as that name is coming to your mind, and maybe it's even the name that you're like, God, I don't even want that name to come to my mind right now. That's probably the name God's bringing to your mind for a reason. As that name is coming to your mind right now, here's what I want you to do with that. At all of our in-person locations right now, there's a card on your seat. I want you to pull out that card, and I want you to write that first name of that person that came to your mind down on that card. And I want you to write it down as just this opportunity for you to respond to God and say, yeah, God, I'm going to commit to doing this. If you're joining us online, you can participate with this as well. What you can do is actually text that first name to our text number. That's 414-509-0339, and we'll get that. And here's why I want you to text that name in. Here's why I want you to write down that card, name on your card in our locations. Is that on your way out, you'll be able to drop that name into a basket. And that's going to be your commitment between you and God to say, God, I'm committing to love this person like Jesus throughout the season. I'm going to love him even though it's going to cost me something. And then throughout the series, we're going to actually go and be able to pray for those names throughout the series, and just pray for those first names to join you and partner with you that they would experience the love of Jesus throughout the season. But right now, I just want you to make that commitment. Say, Jesus, I'm going to commit to loving this person the way that you love me, and I'm going to sacrificially love them and care for them. And I pray that they would have a great Christmas season, not because of the movies, not because of the music, but because of how you love them. And so right now, wherever you are, would you make that commitment with me by just praying together with me? And so we'll just say, God, you are so good. And you are so good because not just because you're God, you are God, but you're a God who loves. And you paved the way for loving us by giving us your son, Jesus. And Jesus came and didn't just know our names and our stories, but God, you responded to us with that grace and truth by giving yourself for us, by paying for our sin, so that we can just be fully loved by you and fully known by you. And so God, as your followers right now, we commit to taking that love and to demonstrating that to the names on our cards and the names that we're texting in right now. Because God, we know that you changed the world before, one person at a time. And God, we know that this city, this community, this state, it can be changed. It can be changed for you. But it's only going to happen one person at a time, being loved by someone who loves you. And so God, I just pray right now that all of us, we would be known by how much we love you, by how we love other people. God, we pray for the names that we've written down, that we've texted in. We pray, God, that they would see your love for them through us this week. God, I don't know what step that's going to require, but God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to take that step and to love that person this week. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that love has a name and that it is Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ridge Community Church's podcast. If you live in Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to host you at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and more about our kids and students' environments, visit us at theridgecc.com. That's theridgecc.com.